This morning, I was talking with Maria before class. We were talking about a lot of kids going back to school. We're talking about a lot of teachers in this congregation and the challenges that teachers face, and honestly, the challenges that some of the students have, both learning in school as well as challenges that they have in their homes. And I began to think a little bit about my lesson this morning and the great need in this country of parents to step up and teach their children about God, parents that need to step up and teach their children about life and what's important. And we often think about, well, you know, the mothers a lot of times are given the task to rear the children, to teach the children, to make sure that the children are disciplined and behaving. But this morning, my lesson is not about mothers. This morning, I wanted to bring forth an example of a Bible character that we don't often talk about, Elkanah, depending on how you pronounce it, a model father and a husband. The text this morning is in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 1 through 28. You know, today, in today's world, the responsibilities of fatherhood can never be more critical. The responsibilities that God gives to fathers is great. And there has never been a greater time in this country, in this society, for fathers to step up and to teach their children. Consider, if you will, the command that God gives fathers in Ephesians chapter 6 and at verse 4. God says to fathers, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." This task is given to fathers. And it is very important that we think about, as fathers, even as Christians, some in this society, many in this society, I should say, fail to accept the responsibilities as a father or a father head figure, which can cause much grief in families. When children are not brought up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, or in the instruction and discipline of the Lord, fathers fail in their families. You might say, well, what exactly are you talking about? Well, you know, even in Christian homes, oftentimes both parents work full time. Oftentimes, fathers are away from the home many hours throughout the day, working and earning a living, providing for their family. And certainly, that is a God-given responsibility for fathers, to provide for their families, to provide sustenance, food, clothing, and shelter, and so forth. But God also places on fathers the responsibility to raise up their children in the nurture and instruction of the Lord. When that doesn't happen, families break down. When that doesn't happen, children don't get the instruction and the discipline from the Lord that they should be getting. I'm talking about biblical instruction, and I'm talking about biblical discipline. Things that God would approve of. Things that God instructs fathers and expects fathers to do. It is important to teach men their God-given responsibilities in respect to their children. One of the best ways to do this is to study examples in Scripture given in the Bible of men who were good fathers, men that we should emulate. There are many examples we could consider, men like Abraham or Zebedee or Joseph, the father of Jesus, the carpenter. In this lesson, we're going to study a character, Elkanah. Probably have not studied him very much. He's not very widely known or closely examined. But this morning, we're going to talk about Elkanah, the father of Samuel, the great prophet. In 1 Samuel chapter 1, we're not given a lot of information about Elkanah. However, there is some intriguing information that we can glean from the text in 1 Samuel chapter 1. We know for starters, the Elkanah was an example of worship and service. Elkanah was concerned with worshiping God. In 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 3, it says, "Now this man, Elkanah, used to go up year by year from his city to worship and to sacrifice to the Lord of hosts at Shiloh, where the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were priests to the Lord. This man would journey every year to go and worship God." Now that was, of course, by the commandment. I'm sure that he also praised and worshiped God where he was. But the annual sacrifice he was required to go to, he made sure that he went and he worshiped God year by year. I believe this speaks more of him than stating his wealth, his accumulated possessions, or his physical appearance or stature, or that he was some famous person. Just the fact that he cared and was deeply faithful towards God, and that he worshiped God as he was commanded as a Jew. Notice, if you will, Elkanah did not go to worship God alone. His family always accompanied him. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 21 says, "The man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer to the Lord the yearly sacrifice and to pay his vow." Elkanah made sure he took his family with him, including all of his children, to make sure that they were worshiping and teaching them and instructing them in the ways that God would have the children to learn and grow up in the Lord. Children need to accompany their parents to attend every worship assembly that they're able to. When we think about this, the importance of parents setting the example for their children, it starts in the home. It doesn't start when you enter the doors of the assembly place. No, that begins at home. The teaching and instruction that we are to attend worship, we are to worship God in spirit and in truth, that instruction and that learning begins inside the home when the children are very young, teaching them about God, teaching them about what God instructs for children to do and how parents are to teach their children. This is the will of God. And certainly the next place it happens is when parents bring their children to worship, to Bible class, to study and to learn and to grow, as parents ought to be doing inside the home. They also should be teaching and instructing their children at the worship assembly to pay attention, to take notes, to think about the lesson and the instruction from the Bible. After all, it's God's message in the Bible that is being taught inside a Bible class, that's being taught inside of the worship assembly, and that our worship to God should be from the heart. These are the things that children need to learn when they're very young from both of their parents, including their father. Elkanah trained his family to worship by supplying them with individual portions for sacrifice to God. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 4 says, "On the day when Elkanah sacrificed, he would give portions to Peninnah his wife and to all her sons and daughters." Elkanah made sure that the children received their portion so that they could also sacrifice to God. He cared that much about his children and teaching them and instructing them on their sacrifice, their responsibilities to please God, their responsibility to worship God as individuals. Not because he said so, not because their parents did so, but that each of their children would learn to respect and learn to worship God from the heart. That's the kind of spirit that Elkanah instilled in his children. Children that would fear God and keep his commandments. Children that would respect Bible authority. Children that would respect authority from heaven. Godly authority. That's the type of Elkanah, the type of man, the type of father that Elkanah was, instilling this in his children. What a better country we would be in if every father instill the fear of God in their children. And I'm not talking about being afraid. I'm talking about great respect for the authority of God. That's the type of instruction that Elkanah gave his children in this sacrifice. And I don't think this was just once a year. I think he did this daily. I think he taught them to respect God and God's authority all the time, constantly. Fathers need to train their children to worship God properly, even today. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 and verse 4. If you'd like to turn with me there, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 and also verse 4. Ephesians 6, 1 says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." Also verse 4, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord," as we read earlier. When you think about how you teach your children that they ought to obey their parents, not because of the fear of some punishment or some discipline, but they should obey their parents because this is right. And it's not just right by their parents, it's right by the Lord. And that's the type of instruction that fathers should instill in their children. Not just the act of obedience, not just going through the motions. Fathers need to teach their children to obey because it's right. And because it is right before God. An important distinction. Later on, verse 4, "Don't provoke them to wrath, certainly, but instruct them to nurture them as fathers, to admonish them to respect God and His authority." We also see a picture of Elkanah as a man who loved his wife. You might say, well, I thought we were talking about Elkanah as a father. Well, I think it's inseparable that a father and his wife can separate the two roles. I think both are important. Elkanah clearly loved his wife. In 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 5, it says, "He loved Hannah, his wife, the mother of his children." It says, "But to Hannah he gave a double portion because he loved her, though the Lord had closed her womb." Now this is what the Bible says. And it talked about he gave portions to Peninnah and her children, but to Hannah he gave a double portion because he loved her. Talking about the sacrifice, talking about how much he cared for Hannah. Husbands, we read in other verses, are to love their wives. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25, it says, "Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her." Through the love of a husband has for his wife, the love for their children is revealed. Someone once said, "The best thing a father can do is for his children, for his children, is to be a good husband to their mother." Let's think about that for a moment. Elkanah, to be a good father, had to love his wife as a godly man, as a faithful man, to be that example to his children. If they were to follow in Elkanah's footsteps, he needed to love his spouse, Hannah and Peninnah. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 28, it adds this, "In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself." You see, God commands men to love their wives as their own body. You wouldn't say to your arm, "Oh, my arm has offended me, I'm going to chop it off." You wouldn't do that to your own body. So also a man is to love his wife as his own body. You wouldn't say to your foot, "Oh, my foot got injured, I have to cut it off." That's not the way you treat an injury to your foot. So also a man is to love his wife, even if she offends him or does something he doesn't like. He still has to be willing to forgive. He still has to love her. Men and women today are too quick to run to divorce. Men and women today are too quick to look at it as an easy way out. Instead, they ought to love one another and cleave to one another as God instructed. That is God's will in the matter concerning marriage. It's not what I say. It's not my opinion. It's what God says. That's what matters. Men, husbands, love your wives. Treat them with respect and dignity as your own bodies. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 2, it says, "With all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love." We certainly should have patience with one another. Husbands, you should have patience with your spouse, and vice versa. Wives should be patient with their husbands. When it comes to Bible verses about husbands and wives and general kindness, this verse has much to teach us about having that patience with one another. Oftentimes, husbands and wives argue. Sometimes they have disagreements. But we are to have patience with one another. Sometimes the wife will convince the husband of the right thing, change their mind. Sometimes the husbands convince their wives that their way or their thoughts are correct. Now, there shouldn't be disagreements, of course, over biblical matters, over spiritual matters. We're not talking about those kinds of disagreements. But we're talking about everyday life, treating how we treat one another with humility and gentleness, with patience. This is bearing one another. I like that word, bearing one another. You know, sometimes my wife has to bear with me in love. Sometimes she's patient with me, and I appreciate that. Elkanah loved his wife. He was patient with her. Her womb had been closed. She didn't have children, but he loved her because of her character. He loved her because she was gentle and kind. Elkanah loved his wife because she was a follower of God. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 14 adds this: "House and riches are the inheritance of fathers, and a prudent wife is from the Lord." Husbands, remember that a good wife is a gift from God. And you should be thankful to the Almighty for a prudent wife, one who loves and cares deeply and trusts in God. You should thank God every day for giving you your spouse. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 9, one of the wisest men to ever write wrote this. He said, "Enjoy life with the wife whom you love all the days of your vain life that he has given you under the sun, because that is your portion in life and in your toil at which you toil under the sun." Husbands, you should live in joy with your wives. That can be a difficult prospect sometimes. But it's not a tall order. It's not impossible. God's instruction and teaching about joy, living with your wife, your spouse, with joy, is something that you should do. Just like the toil of your hands is something you enjoy to do. Your occupation, your passion, something that you live for. You should have that kind of love for your wife, that kind of joy. Things that bring you the most pleasure are not things you can buy with money. Things that bring you the most joy are not things at all. They are your spouse. They are the people that are closest to you. They bring you the most joy in your life, besides God. This is a simple message that should be embraced by all married couples. Even when difficulties come, joy should still abound in your household. Elkanah, you see, also had a godly character. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 3. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 3, if you want to turn there with me. "And this man went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice to the Lord of the hosts at Shiloh, and the two sons of Eli and Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there." Elkanah's godly character, I think, is something we should look at. The name Elkanah means God has possessed. He was the man that he was, the husband that he was, and the father that he was because he was God possessed. He was a possession of the Almighty God. Everything that he did, everything that he was because he was a man of God. And his character, I believe, reflected that in each of his roles as a father, as a husband, and as a child of God. You see, he had completely given himself to God as a servant. God was in complete control of his life. Such is probably the key to his success as being a father. Whether or not one's life has been given in submission to the will of God determines what kind of a character, what kind of a father, what kind of a husband that they are. That's just the way that God designed us. That's the way that God created us. He instilled in each one of us a sense of ought, a sense that we belong to God. We should worship God in spirit. Because installed in every one of us is a spirit that God gave to us. And in each one of us, as a father, a husband, a wife, or a mother, we live to serve God. That's the kind of man that Elkanah was. He lived to serve others. He didn't live to serve self. He wasn't trying to always please Elkanah. Elkanah lived to please others. To please God first, to please his wife and his children, and to instill in them the respect for God and live in submission to God. Elkanah agreed with devoting their son Samuel to serve the Lord for his whole life. That was a pretty tall ask. But Elkanah agreed with Hannah to give up their child to serve God as a prophet. In 1 Samuel 1, verses 22 and 23, it says, "But Hannah did not go up, for she said to her husband, 'As soon as the child is weaned, I will bring him, so that he may appear in the presence of the Lord and dwell there forever.' Elkanah, her husband, said to her, 'Do what seems best to you. Wait until you have weaned him. Only may the Lord establish his word.' So the woman remained and nursed her son until she weaned him." Elkanah agreed with her vow. Elkanah said, "I agree. May the Lord establish his word, just as you vowed to him, to give this child to become a servant, to become a prophet in service to God." What a wonderful sacrifice Elkanah was willing to make. And out of respect for his wife's vow, that if God would give her this child, she would present this child to serve God all the days of his life. Elkanah honored his wife's vow to give their son to serve God. He also honored her as his wife by respecting her vow, by honoring it. Though we don't know a whole lot about Elkanah, his willingness to allow his little son to leave home and live at the house of the Lord demonstrated a deep trust that Elkanah had in God. Elkanah had faith in his wife's devotion and allowed her to do as she thought best. Through these glimpses into the life of Hannah and Elkanah, we can conclude that he was a kind man, faithful to the Lord, and loving toward his wife. That's the kind of character that Elkanah displayed. I believe from these verses we can glean. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7 says, "Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered." I believe that this verse, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, is exemplified in the life of Elkanah and the way that he honored Hannah, his wife, and the way that he treated her in an understanding way, knowing that she wanted to have children, knowing that she had this deep devotion towards God, knowing that she had made this vow if God would grant her this child. Elkanah honored her in this vow. Elkanah lived with her in a very understanding way for many years without children. Treated her as a joint heir in God's kingdom. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 5, it says, "But Tahani gave that double portion we talked about because he loved her. He had that much deep respect for her. He gave her a double portion for the sacrifice, although the Lord had closed her womb." In a time when some would value their lives and tie it to their ability to bear children, as we saw in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 6 through 8, where it says this, 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 6 through 8, says, "And her adversary," that is Peninnah, "also provoked her sore for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. And as he did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. Then said Elkanah her husband to her, 'Hannah, why weepest thou, and why eatest thou not? And why is thy heart grieved? Am I not better to thee than 10 sons? During this time, this age, this period, the value of women often were measured by how many children that they bore. Elkanah was not that kind of man. He didn't measure her value by how many sons or how many children that she could have. But Elkanah instead loved his wife because of her godly character, because of her devotion to God. He loved her because of that. The Lord blessed Elkanah and Hannah. Every year Hannah would bring Samuel a new robe, a new change of clothing for him to wear. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verses 20 through 21. 1 Samuel 2, verses, chapter 2, verses 20 through 21 says, "Then Eli would bless Elkanah and his wife and say, 'May the Lord give you children by this woman, for the petition she asked of the Lord.' So then they would return to their home. Indeed, the Lord visited Hannah, and she conceived and bore 3 sons and 2 daughters. And the boy Samuel grew in the presence of the Lord." God blessed Hannah because she had made this petition, and she carried through giving up Samuel, her son, to serve the Lord. It says, indeed. I like that word, indeed. In fact, the Lord visited Hannah and blessed her with 5 children, 5 more children, 3 sons and 2 daughters. And I'm sure as Samuel grew and as she saw him year by year serving the Lord, learning to be this great prophet that he would become, Elkanah, I am certain, saw Samuel grow up and become a godly man. And that was also a blessing to Hannah, to see Samuel grow up and become this godly prophet, who later on would anoint Saul as king over Israel, and eventually would anoint David to be king in Saul's place. The greatest king was anointed by Samuel, their son. Well, the lesson is yours. I hope some things that we talked about this morning for both husbands and wives, both fathers and mothers, as seen in the example here of Elkanah and his wife Hannah, can clearly show what God wants us to be as parents. And perhaps all of us can train our children and grandchildren. We can train those around us to fear God and keep His commandments. That is who God wants us to be as Christians, teachers, examples as parents, those living as righteous Christians, not only serving God, but serving others, just as Elkanah tried to do, a servant of the Most High God, serving others and teaching them the things that they need to do to obey God. This morning, you have an opportunity, if you're in any way subject to the gospel call, if you are not a Christian, you can become a Christian this morning, to become a child of God, a joint heir with all of Christians. If you are a Christian and you have sin in your life, and it's of a private nature, we encourage you to pray for forgiveness. If you have sin that's of a public nature, we implore you to come forward in just a moment as we stand to sing a song of encouragement. We can pray with you, pray for forgiveness, that God may have mercy. If you're in any way subject to the gospel call, please come forward now as we stand and sing the song of encouragement.